truth. I thank you for the calm and the peace of truth. I thank you, Father, for the nourishment and the health that truth brings. I accept and receive all of that. Father, I thank you that the truth eliminates all that's wrong and suspends and nourishes with all that's right. Thank you, Father, that the truth is just like food in my body. I thank you for that. I receive now all that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking again about the importance of physical things to your physical well-being as well as your spiritual well-being. The thing I want to talk about or continue to talk about, Lord willing, is water. And to begin with, we need to refer to Jesus because he is the Lord and he is the truth and he is God. He is our Father. He is everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega, so we best should begin with him if you want to end with him. Bear in mind, whatever you begin with, you will end with. So when you get up in the morning, isn't it better to begin your day with the Lord instead of cursing the clock because it had the nerve to ring and remind you that you're alive? Now, whatever you begin with, that's what you're going to end with. John 3:5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? In order to enter into the kingdom of God, you need something physical as well as spiritual. Isn't it amazing that it's just not enough to say, I love you, Lord, and I am a sinner? And that will take care of your spirit. That will take care of your soul. But what about your body? Jesus said it must be born of water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we know where the kingdom of heaven is. But where is the kingdom of God, that place that God said, you can't go in there. You cannot enter unless you are born of water and of the Spirit. Well, if you know anything at all, you'll know that Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. So water is very important, not only to you spiritually. When you're baptized, you're cleansed. It's symbolic of being cleansed spiritually. So water cleans, doesn't it? It was a symbol of you being cleaned in the blood of Christ when you got baptized. But somehow or other, you don't have the same reverence for your body. And God said, the kingdom of God, where you want to enter in, which is inside of you, you have to have water and spirit. Now, we need to understand a little bit about what water is so you'll understand why God places the importance on it that he does. Water is only a very simple chemical. It consists of two atoms of hydrogen bonded to one of oxygen. That's why you have H2O. So it's three bonded together. One, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, body, soul, and spirit, H2O, water, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Water is essential to all forms of life. Nothing can live without water. Nothing. Now, we take it apart. Now, let's divide water like we divide everything. You tell me if it's important to you physically. Water is two parts hydrogen. Hydrogen comes from two words, hydro and gen. Isn't that amazing? Now, in simple terminology, hydrogen is a flammable, colorless, odorless, gaseous chemical element that's the lightest of all known substances. But that doesn't tell us what we want to know. It's hydrogen. Hydro means water. Gen is where we get the word genus or genesis, and it means to be born and to become, and it also means what you're born of and what you came from. So hydrogen means being born of water, coming from water. Whatever you have came from water. Water has a basic element in everything that you are and everything that you have. Gen means something that produces. It also means that that was produced. But it comes from the word genus, which means a class of things made up of subordinate classes. So all the little things in the water combined to make you what you are, the class you have or do not have. So see, it's very important. This is hydrogen. This is two parts of you. This is the way your body's made up. It is made that whatever you are comes originally from water. So what you eat is very important, isn't it? And do you know that your body doesn't eat, your body drinks. Your mouth eats, but your brain drinks, because by the time it gets to your brain, it has to be fluid. Your tissues drink. They do not eat. You eat. And you have to turn it into a liquid, into a solution, or your body can't use it. So now everything that's about you comes from water. It comes from water, and it's produced by whatever subordinate classes of things there are in the hydro that you drink. So you see, what you drink, which means not only what you drink in liquid form here, but what your body and your tissues and your brain end up drinking after you eat it and turn it into water or liquid, is what you are. You cannot change yourself physically, emotionally, or psychologically, or even spiritually, until you take a real deep look at what you're drinking. What makes you up? What water content you come from? It's a frightening thought if you think of all the chemicals and stimulants you turn into solutions and feed your body. That's where you're coming from. But hydrogen is only two parts of it. The other one-third is oxygen. And oxygen comes from two words also. Oxy and gen. Now, oxygen is a colorless, odorless, tasteless, gaseous chemical element, but it's the most abundant of all elements. It is free. Must be grace, huh? Free. Well, if it's grace, it occurs free in the atmosphere, and it forms one-fifth of its volume. Five, the number of grace. And in combination in water, this, in other words, oxygen in combination with hydrogen, becomes very active and is able to combine with nearly all other elements. Nearly all. Water does not mix oil, grease, fat, or blood. You can't drink blood, dilute it with water, and have it mix. They'll separate. And oxygen, obviously, is essential to all life processes. So see, oxygen, hydrogen, and oxygen, which is water, is essential, but it doesn't mix. It doesn't combine with everything. So if you put things into your system that water doesn't combine with, and you put it into your system, it's like a big oil spill in the water. It doesn't mix with the water. So this fat, this grease, these elements that you put in there just kind of swish around in there, and wherever they, whatever they touch, like in the Alaskan Bay there, if they touch an otter, they cling to the otter. They touch a rock, the beach, wherever, they stick right there and kill everything there, because, see, it cuts off oxygen. It causes decay to start immediately. And if you don't clean up the oil spill, it's going to harm the whole environment and the ecology of that environment, because that doesn't mix with water. So now when you do that in your system, you have essentially the same problem. You have a big oil slick. These globs will accumulate in certain places and cause you varicose veins, strokes, all kinds of circulatory problems. You start getting cold. You're manufacturing the heat, but the blood isn't getting everywhere because it's sluggish. It's full of oil. Take the experiment. Take water and see how it flows so freely, so pure and so clean. Then fill it full of grease and oil, and you see how it becomes sluggish. That's why you're always tired. Your heart has to work faster because now your blood is full of grease and lard and fat. So obviously it doesn't flow as free. So the pump has to work faster to get the blood there. But even when it gets there, the air, the oil and the grease in the air cuts off the flow of oxygen. So you're literally starving for oxygen while your heart is pumping faster, trying to get this blood through there because it wants oxygen, but the oxygen that's in there is almost entirely cut off by the grease and the oil and the garbage that you have in there. So now you have high blood pressure on top of everything else. You have an oxygen-starved brain. That's why you don't think clear. That's why you forget everything. That's why you can't remember the things that need to be remembered. Well, the problem is you don't understand the importance of water. Just a plain physical thing. But you got to understand, we're in a physical world. I've had people tell me, well, you're on this kick now where everything is physical. I want to hear about the Lord. Well, you didn't like it when I was telling you that. Let me ask you a question. All of these men, John, we're studying now, all of these men don't have pain, they don't have sickness, they don't have disease, they don't have poverty, they don't have any physical problem, do they? They're saved, and I'm saved, and you're saved. God loves them, God loves me, and God loves you. And God is no respecter of persons. So how come John and everyone that's in heaven, everyone with the Lord, has none of these problems that you have? What do they have that we don't have? Well, they don't have any more love. They don't have God. We've got God too. They don't have anything we don't have. We have something they don't have. What do we have they don't have? Yeah, they ain't got no body, right? So therefore, they ain't got no problems. So everything is physical, isn't it, for you and I? Because in the spiritual, we're saved. We're as free as the people in heaven. Satan only has one avenue now for it through you, the body. So yes, all of your problems start in the physical. Absolutely. And if you don't want to solve them this way, then your body becomes your main problem to happiness. That's a dangerous situation to get into. Let me tell you something about water, how important it is to your body. First of all, it's the most common chemical. See, I put common and chemical together there. It is the most common chemical in the human body. And it's also the most abundant substance on earth. 99% of the molecules in your body are water. 99% of the molecules in your body are water. And you're trying to tell me what you drink is not important? You're trying to tell me what you eat and turn into a solution, into water and feed your system is not important? 99% of the molecules in your entire body are water. Although it's a smaller proportion of your body weight, about 60% thereabouts, depending on how this or that you are. Now, you can survive as many as 90 days without food, but only a very few minutes without oxygen, and only a few days without water. So essential to good health are pure air, pure food, and pure water. So what do? You make your air impure, your food impure, which makes your water impure. Now, but I drink distilled water. That's good. And it combines with your digestive juices, but what are you eating to turn into this water into solution? Well, that's another thing. Now, let me tell you something about you as an individual. When you were born and you were nursing on milk, mother's milk contains 87% water. which is perfect for a child's digestion. 87% water. That's the way your system was built. You were perfect when you were born. Now, I've told you, eat fruits and vegetables. God said, I've given you the herb and all the green, all the fruit of the tree, bearing seed after its kind. Now, mother's milk, the most healthy, perfect food that you can get before you're able to get your own. Before you're able to make your own, mom makes it for you. It is 87% water. Fruits and vegetables possess about 87% water. So what happens when you eat things that are different? They rob you of water. Why? Because in order for you to digest something, it has to be 87% water. Why do you think you're constipated? Because what you're eating is not 87% water. So it causes an imbalance in your water. So as a result, you get stopped up inside. It's a very, very delicate balance here. So in order for something to be perfect for your adult digestive system, it must be 87% water. The only thing is, you don't need mom to process it for you anymore, thank God. Although most of you haven't learned that yet. Now, when you drink a glass of water, it goes directly to your stomach. Part of the water is absorbed directly into your bloodstream through the walls of the stomach. The remainder goes to the intestines to keep the food you eat in a liquid state, 87% water, while it's being absorbed. Now, if you don't have 80% water in there, what's going to happen? Things are not going to get digested. They're not going to be passed. They're going to stick to the walls of your stomach. They're going to putrefy there. Give it enough years, and you have cancer. Now, because you see, the water goes to the intestines to keep the food you eat in a liquid state while it's being absorbed. So what's in your intestines is absorbed. Now, if you don't have enough water in there, and things are putrefying and sticking to the walls, what do you ultimately absorb? That's right, toxins, putrefied toxins. Let me tell you something else about water in your system so that you understand. This isn't something we just come to church and pray and sing and go home and live the same way and wonder, why isn't God working? Why don't his promises work? Because you refuse to believe him, that's why. The temperature of the body is controlled through water. The average body temperature, as you know, is 98.6. If it goes over this, we are feverish. You don't have enough water. If it goes under this, we are under par physically. Why? Because you don't have enough water, because water is being used to digest and a lot of other things. If you're not taking in enough, you become dehydrated. Water makes up 92% of the blood of your body, and nearly 98% of the intestinal, gastric, saliva, and pancreatic juices. Man, can you see how important? I mean, you're a floating. You float, don't you? Many people are chronically constipated, which is a sign of dehydration. Lots of people suffer from burning, irritating urine, which is another sign of water starvation. Oh, I have an infection. No, you have burning, irritating urine. It is the urine that has infected the tract. It is not the tract that infects the urine. How can you believe that urine, which is waste, is being infected by your body? Isn't it the other way around? So see, some dumb doctor will tell you, you have an infection, so he puts something on your body instead of telling you, drink more water, clear water, and don't put toxins in your food and mix with the balance of your water, because it will cause water starvation. dehydration, infections, and constipations. And constipations cause everything from fevers to cancer and everything in between. And some will say, well, yeah, you're starting to sound like a doctor. Now, I come to church. I want to hear spiritual things. Gotcha. Gotcha. John 4:10. I know what you're thinking. You're so predictable. See, the minute I met you, you told me what you thought, and you ain't had another thought since. Because the only thing you think is what you think. It's the only one you're interested in, so I know what you're thinking. You only have one thought. John 4:10. Jesus answered and said unto her, talking to the woman at the well, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, Jesus, how am I going to make this scripture work for me? How am I going to go give Jesus a drink? I want living water. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for doctrine, and for instruction. So this has to work for me. So now, Jesus is the blood of life, isn't he? Isn't Jesus the blood? So when Jesus said, give me, what is the blood asking for? Voila! I want to cleanse your body just the way I cleansed your spirit. So the blood is saying, give me to drink. And if you would have known who asked you to give to drink, he said, this blood would then give you back living water. So what you take in cleanses, combines, digests, assimilates, then turns your blood into living water, which feeds all your system. And every Christian's running around saying, oh, I want the living water. Take a drink. Eat right. See, your blood is what's killing you. I would challenge you. And most of you would fold up like a cheap carpet. I would challenge you to take a blood test, unannounced. And let me see the results. See, that blood test will tell me what you've been giving your blood to drink. It'll give me salt content, the amount of toxins, the kind of microorganisms, the kind of bacteria that you have in your system, because in your blood will be certain antibodies manufactured by your blood to fight certain specific diseases, which tells me what you've been eating, what bacteria you've been eating by what your blood has manufactured to combat that bacteria. So here we have an example where the Lord is saying, as your blood, give me water. And I'll give you back living water. See, you cannot live on just water. Water is a cleanser. Water in combination with nutrition becomes living water. That's what you digest. Well, where is that? In your blood. Your blood is what feeds your body. That's what keeps you alive, or what is killing you, depending on which way you're going. So literally, the life is in the blood. So if the life is in the blood, then it must be in the living water. So your blood is saying, give me to drink. Very important thing for you to understand. How else are you going to make this scripture work for you? You're going to buy yourself some kind of terrestrial golden goblet? And when the Lord comes back for us, you're going to rush up to him with a drink of Hinckley and Schmidt distilled water, of course. And then you will fulfill this scripture? How dumb can you be? Don't answer that, because I already know. Now he said, give me to drink, and I will give you living water. Living means liquid that is full of life and vigorous, full of energy. That's your food. That's your blood. But living also means something that moves quickly and lightly. In other words, it doesn't take a lot of pressure to pump it through. It moves quickly and lightly. So it's quick water. It's lively water. It's not bogged down with gunk and poison and stimulants. It's quick. Well, let me tell you how you can tell whether you have living water. It's quick. So you are what you eat. You become a manifestation of what's inside of you. So if you have living water, quick water, then you're quick. Quick means done with promptness.
I don't want to get up yet. Or yet. Or yet. Or yet. Or yet.
So you don't do things with promptness. Let me tell you something else about living water.
I don't understand this.
And I don't see it. Well, what is your answer? I don't know, but I know that, isn't it? How do you know? I don't know. Quick means prompt to understand and prompt to learn. It is true there is brain food, isn't there? It is true that when doctors tell you that children who don't eat a nutritious breakfast, don't eat, see, they have it all wrong. They think it's breakfast. People, children that don't have good nourishment, aren't as quick in school. They don't learn as fast. There's nothing wrong with them. It's the junk you're feeding them. You see, if you had living water, you'd be prompt to understand and prompt to learn. I've seen that in my life. How much more I can see, how much quicker I can understand, how much more things do not affect me. Because I have the living water now, and I'm going for more of it. Quick means to be sharp in discernment, acutely perceptive. Well, I didn't know she was upset. She fell on the floor, and she rolled around and said, I'm dying. Take me out to eat. Take me somewhere. I'm claustrophobic. Well, I didn't know she was having that problem. How in the hell could you not know that? Well, you're not very acutely perceptive. Matter of fact, you're blind, besides being deaf and dumb. But see how they run. Three blind mice, see how they run. Quick or living water means able to respond rapidly as an innate, rather than developed faculty. Oh, I wish, I want to practice, I want to think quick, No, it's an innate quality, not a developed one. Which has to do with what you eat. It's living water. It's living, but it's water. You know, water means, from the Greek, a shower. It doesn't mean so much what it is. We already learned what it is. It's living. Now it tells us how it comes. It's living, and it showers you. Well, you know what a shower means. It means something that falls, falling water. That cleanses and takes things with it as it goes. You know what a shower is? You wash, and then the water comes, you soak in the water, and it takes and eliminates all the wrong and leaves the good. That's a shower, right? It's a bath in which the body is sprayed with water from a nozzle fixed overhead. So you drink water, and it showers you. It eliminates and cleanses everything that's wrong with you. That's a shower. You know what else a shower is? A party? That's where gifts are given to the guest of honor. To the guest of honor. So this shower gives gifts like nutrition and health and quick thinking and quick learning. Man, I get, you know, I take 2 or 3 of those a day. I like showers. A guest of honor by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're having a wedding shower. Lots of wedding showers. One day we're going to have a wedding feast. I have it on good authority they're preparing, right? But in the meantime, I'm getting a lot of wedding showers. I'm getting lots of presents. I'm the guest of honor. Because I have a nozzle overhead that showers my body. Could all this be an accident? And some will say, well, I don't understand this.
Yet.
Now I'm going to tell you why you don't understand it. John 3:5. Reuben, this is getting awful tough for you to say that it's all physical, and I thought it was all God's work. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, which is what I've just told you, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I just read that to you. Then in verse 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So you need both. You need to have a physical thing as well as a spiritual thing for the simple reason that you're still physical, living in a physical world. But you see, in all churches, just like in that one, there's always a Nicodemus. Verse 9. Because you say to me, well, I don't see how these things can be. You're saying that right now. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? The problem is Nicodemus. Now listen, Nicodemus. Pay attention now, Nicodemus. Give me your eyeballs. Give me some pupil. This is for you, Nicodemus. This is why you say, how can these things be? See, first of all, you tell me they aren't. And then when I prove to you that they are in my life, then you say, how can these things be? For the simple reason you don't have them, Nicodemus. Now I'm going to tell you why you don't have them, why you're a Nicodemus. Why did Nicodemus have such a hard time accepting that he could, by doing things physically, affect himself spiritually? Why did he have such a hard time? Because Nicodemus from the Greek means to be victorious among his people. Nicodemus doesn't want anybody to know there's anything wrong with him. No, no. He wants to be victorious among the people, and not my fault. I've got my act together. It can't be anything I'm doing. It can't be anything physical that I'm doing. Nicodemus not only means victorious among his people, it means victorious over the people. Nicodemus means to conquest, to triumph, and to have victory. Nicodemus is never wrong. Nothing is ever his fault. Nicodemus is victorious. For him to admit that there's something wrong rubs his pride all the way, the wrong way. And it takes away his victory over the people and among the people. But you know what else Nicodemus means? A heretic. Yeah, that's why you don't see the physical necessity for you to be responsible for your physical world and your physical body through the physical. You just don't want to grab that because you're a Nicodemus. You're a heretic. Heretic means a church member who holds beliefs opposed to church dogma. I don't believe that God's going to bless me, even though I do believe he blesses others. So I believe he blesses, but my belief is opposed to the fact that I believe he blesses. That's a heretic. One who does not have what God has promised him or her, and he has proven to you that it's his desire to give it because everybody else has it, is a heretic. A Nicodemus. One who says, how can these things be? Well, how could I ever explain it to someone who is not quick to learn, not prompt to understand, and is not acutely perceptive? Whose children roll on the floor and says, I didn't know there was anything wrong with them. How can you expect me to get through to someone like that who does not understand? So I'm trying to tell you, before you try to understand, trust me, and let's clean up your system so that you can think clearly, and then you won't be a Nicodemus. So Nicodemus says, how can these things be? I just don't see it. Jesus answered him right back, just the way I'm answering you, jolly Saint Nickel. Verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. I'm telling you, I know. And I'm telling you, I have seen this. And ye receive not our witness. Okay. Now Jesus comes back and says, if I have told you earthly things, I've told you how blood works. You cannot deny that. You can call any doctor you want. Go to the library. Listen. Look it up. Check it up. I've told you earthly things, and ye believe not. I've told you things that can be checked, and you won't do it because you don't want to believe. So if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You don't want to believe earthly things. You don't want to believe that what you eat affects your temperament. Even though you remember when you used to go get drunk, if I'm using the word used to correctly. Now, didn't that affect the way you thought? So you know the earthly thing. I'm telling you, when you get drunk, you think differently and you act differently. But I've told you these earthly things, and you don't believe what you already know. Then God says, well, how are you going to believe if I tell you heavenly things, which take faith, which you will not believe the things you've already experienced? I'm now explaining them to you again in earthly terms, in physical terms, things that you can go check to see if Reuben's telling you the truth. Check it with any doctor you want. Check it with any scientist you want. Go to any book, any library, anywhere you want, and check it. And you still won't believe. Well, then how are you going to believe heavenly things? He says, I've told you the earthly things. Well, yeah, but earthly means the sin of the world and Saddam Hussein and all that Antichrist stuff. You know what the word earthly means from the Greek? Physical. If I have told you physical things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Earthly means physical, means according to the laws of nature, according to the laws of the body, as opposed to the mind. Material things, things you can see and touch. He said, I've told you those things. I tell you that water is made up of three. I tell you that atoms are composed of three things. I tell you that the God is three. I tell you, you are three. And you just won't put the three together. Why? Because you're physical, which means preoccupied with bodily pleasures. Now he said, if I've told you physical things, and I have, I've told you what's wrong with you and why, physically. He says, how are you going to accept or believe heavenly things? Heavenly means happiness, power, and eternity, the gospel. Remember, heaven means the abode of God. It's where God lives. Then it tells you where that is, the gospel. The abode of God is the gospel. Now that tells you what it is, or where it is, and whose it is. Now the word heavenly tells you what it is. Heavenly means happiness, power, and eternity. I'm not happy, and I can't do nothing about it, and I never will. So you have unhappiness, no power, and no eternity. Don't you feel ashamed of yourself? Look how simple God has made it for us. I tell you, be happy. Well, what does he want to be happy? Your body. Well, what does he want? How do you get the power? Through the Spirit. What has eternity? What's going to live forever? Your soul. So what is happiness, power, and eternity? Body, spirit, and soul. Now, you want power before happiness. Well, now, if heaven came that way, then he would have said, heavenly means power, happiness, and eternity. But see, Nicodemus wants victory. And that takes power. So you've reversed it. I don't have the power, so therefore I am not happy, therefore there's nothing I can do about it. You should say, I get happy first, then I get power forever. That's the way that it works. Finally, celestial is the final definition of the word heavenly. I want celestial things. I have celestial things. Celestial means of the finest or the highest of its kind. Perfect. That's what God wants you to have. And what he's saying to Nicodemus is, look, Nick. Nicky, let me tell you this. I really love you, Nick. I really do. But I'm never going to be able to get across to you as long as you keep making a separation and putting your body out here and saying, leave it alone. Quit showing me its faults. Leave my body alone. I want to protect my body. I'm prideful toward my body. Well, why would you want to protect your flesh? Knowing that God said, your flesh hates the truth. Your flesh will not, and indeed cannot, be under subjection to the truth. And you don't want me to tell your flesh that. You want to separate your flesh from your spirit and your body. Now, Jesus said that his strength was in the fact that he and the Father and the Spirit were one. Now, he said, now, you got to understand this. I and my Father, the Spirit, we are one. Then he said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now here, you have a house which is made up of your soul, your spirit, and your body. Now, you insist on separating them. Your soul says, that's wrong. But then your spirit says, we're sorry. We didn't remember. We didn't mean it. Body, you're okay, sweetheart. We still love you. You're trying so hard. It's God that isn't doing it. Well, what have you done? You've separated and divided against itself your body from the rest of you. And now what do you have? A house that cannot stand. A house that cannot stand you, and a house that you cannot stand. I can't stand this place. I do this, and there's something dirty over there. You can't stand your house, can you? Your house isn't standing, is it? And then you look in the mirror, and you say, oh, I don't like that. I don't like. Well, I agree with that, but why should you hate it? Why don't you get it under subjection, Nick? Why don't you take these worldly things, these physical things that I'm telling you, and understand God said, I want you to have the same perfection as everybody else has. I'm no respecter of persons. We're all saved, those that are in heaven, those that are here. We're all loved, those that are in heaven, those that are here. They don't have any problems, you do. What's the distinction? As I said before, they ain't got nobody, and you do. They don't have to do these things anymore. You do. Now, you only can do it one of two ways. You can either get the body into subjection, give it the responsibility, get it under authority, clean it up. It cannot serve you as long as you keep polluting it. Or you can give it up. and I'm going to share with you it now at 11 o'clock, that is not a good idea. And it is not God's will. But understand, it is your choice. We're not done with water yet, by any stretch of the imagination. And you're going to learn some things about water at this next service that are going to tell you that if you don't clean up your physical system, if you don't do the physical, worldly things according to God's admonition, there's always going to be separation. There's always going to be the conflict one with the other. You are never, ever going to be happy until you ain't got nobody. Then and only then will you ever be happy. Then what are you going to tell the Lord then? See, then you will have understood, wow, now that I'm not under the authority of a body, I'm happy. Well, what's the problem here? You're under the authority of your body. That's the one and only problem that you have. And I'm trying to help you to clean up your body so that it won't have that kind of power over you anymore. And if I told you you had to give me gold bricks to do it, and you believe this, you go get some gold bricks. And I'm telling you, all you have to do is take the freest, most abundant thing there is on this earth, water. And don't pollute it and drink it. Take responsibility and understand you can control how you think, how you act, and how you talk just by learning how God created you and how to make you work. But instead you sit there and you insist that God's going to be your mother. You digest it for me. You turn it into something I can use. He said, no, you do that. Grow up. I'm not going to nurse you anymore. It's time for you to eat. It's time for you to choose. And it's time for you to put into yourself 87% living water. That's your job. Now, I had a mother that did it for you while you couldn't. Grow up. The process is still the same. The necessity is still the same. But now we have a different person responsible. You. And that's why you are looking low, high and low. Everywhere for your mother. In everything. Because you don't want to choose. You don't want to digest. You don't want to prepare your own. You don't want to be responsible. You want your body to be fed by mom. Now remember, mother fed you very well until she weaned you. And then she started giving you what you wanted. And that's your fondest memory of mother. See, don't think back and say, man, man, man. Boy, I love mother's milk just like mom. Oh, that's not the way it works. You're having what you turned into mother's milk. You know what finally happened? You became your own mother, mother. And now you're a mother. And here's the irony of it, mother. Me. I ain't buying no bra, no nursing bra for you or nobody else. I am not going to nurse you, friend. You're going to have to eat and nurse yourself. But that's so hard. You're doing it already. You're just doing it wrong. Your responsibility. It's time for you to grow up or live and die a Nicodemus who will say, how can these things be? Going against the beliefs of the church. Which incidentally say, well, does that mean we have to believe everything? Oh. When you walked in that door to begin with, think of all the things you believed that have changed. So everything you believed has changed, hasn't it? So everything that hasn't changed, because you haven't believed. That's why. And now he's saying, how can you believe these heavenly things when you won't accept the earthly things? When I told you, all you have to do is confess that you're a sinner. Oh, yes, save me, Lord. And I said, now all you have to do is confess you're eating wrong and stop. Stop. Mom never said that. So then what you do is you try to find a way to nurse. And you are nursing off yourself. It's a disgusting picture. Disgusting. But that's how mother fixated you are. Now, I'm not talking to you as people. I'm talking to that wrong in you. I'm talking to what's wrong with you, not with you. And the simple solution for all of this, go take a drink. And then don't put it in solution with toxins. You're going to learn in a minute how God saved the whole world. Saved a soul and the whole world. You know how he did it? Through a flood. Do you remember? I'm going to show you. The world was constipated. And I'm going to show you how God gave the world a great big laxative and cleansed it from everything that was wrong in a man called Noah. I'm going to tell you how it works, how the flood came, why it came, who Noah is, what the water did, what it did with the earth, and how Satan polluted it all over again. Just the way you do, just the way it was done in the garden. And when you get out of here, you're going to say, why? Water is that important? If it wasn't, why would there be so much of it? What do you think God says? Oh, this is very important, so let's have very little of it. And what is really important, we won't have much of that. The most important things, the best things in life, are free. And there's a lot of them. Brother Sherman, would you close the service in prayer? Heart for sharing all of this with us. Thank you, Father, for revealing yourself to us. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. 1 John 5:6. Again, we want to know the importance of water in our lives physically, spiritually, and in every way. 1 John 5:6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. So even Jesus, as our example, came the same way. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. It's very important. The important things in heaven are the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They all work together. They cannot work separately and work properly. So the three that are in heaven, that bear record in heaven, are the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So if you want a spiritual record, then you have to depend on the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. But we live in a physical world. We live in the earth. Verse 8. And there are three that, these three are correlated to the three in heaven. There are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are one. So you can see that in the earth, the things that do on earth what the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost do spiritually is the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now this is not talking about the world, this is talking about the earth, which is your body. So the three that bear witness in your body are the Spirit, the water, and the blood. They're very, very important. You cannot separate them. These three agree in one. So what's in your spirit, what's in the water, and what's in the blood have to agree. And they have to agree with what's in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, which is in the Bible. So if what's in the Bible agrees, then what's in your body should all agree with themselves. Your spirit, the water, and your blood ought to agree with what I'm telling you, what the Bible says. That's how you bear witness. Now, you needn't turn there, but let me read you a very quick scripture in Hebrews 10:22 so you'll understand how this water works in your body. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled or showered from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Now, is this saying that God is not going to save or accept anybody that doesn't shower? What this is saying is your body has to be washed with pure water. See, if it were on the outside, it wouldn't matter if your body, if you wash with distilled water, spring water, or boiled water, or anything, as long as it was clean. But this is pure water. So it must be talking about the inside as well as the outside. So to understand what pure water means to your body, and we're told to wash our bodies in pure water. Water in your body is vital to every bodily function that you have. It is a vital factor in all your body fluids, all your tissues, cells, lymph, blood, and all glandular secretions. There's no liquid inside of you, no secretion, no fluid inside of you that water isn't vital to its function. Water holds all the nutritive factors in solution and acts as a transportation medium to various parts of your body, which means it takes all of your food, puts it in a solution form that your body can use, then becomes a canal or a transportation system to move it to wherever it's needed, which of course is everywhere. So it becomes a way of feeding you. But it also holds toxins and body wastes in solution, and again serves as a transportation medium to these substances. So what it does is that on the one hand it feeds you, and on the other hand it takes away everything that's wrong. And it keeps everything in solution. Now if you don't have enough water in your system, your waste matter, your French poupée, is not going to remain fully in solution, is it? And if it's not in solution, you're going to absorb it. And you're going to absorb it by letting it putrefy there, and then you'll absorb it microorganism by microorganism, or bacteria, if you will. So you see, you can create bacteria with inside of you. Not so much that you have to eat it, although that's one way, but you can create it if you like. So water has to hold everything in solution. The minute the solution is unbalanced, you got problems. Too much adrenaline, not enough water, right amount of water, but too much adrenaline, the solution is wrong. The formula is wrong. Even the mucous membranes need plenty of water to keep them soft and free from friction on their delicate surfaces. So you got to have this. Liquid is also, water is necessary for the proper digestion of food. You cannot even digest your food without water. So as a result, if you don't have enough water, you're not digesting all of your food, which means a lot of your minerals, vitamins, are going out in the waste. So water helps to improve your mind and brain power, makes you think more accurately and better. Why? Because it keeps everything in solution. And water knows, and your blood knows, everything that's right you feed, and everything that's wrong you eliminate. But if there's not enough solution, the whole thing goes wrong. You ain't got the solution, have you? Now, why do I say that you're not thinking right? Because your solution isn't right. You have 15 billion powerful brain cells, and they are 70% water. 15 billion in that little thing that you have called a brain. And of that 15 billion individual cells, which each have functions that are distinctive and natural and necessary to you, they need 70% water. Isn't any wonder you don't think right? Isn't any wonder you're still trying to learn something I've been trying to teach you for years now? It's not your thinking process. The solution is wrong. So you see, it isn't just the amount of water that you drink or the kind of water that you drink. It's what you mix it with. So if you eat wrong, you got a bad solution. If you drink wrong, you have a bad solution. If you're emotional and angry and upset, then you secrete too many fluids. They spill over into your system, and now you have a bad solution again. That's why you don't think right. And you think God isn't thinking right. You think you're thinking right and God isn't. You think you're clear and God isn't. Without water, you're in deep trouble. Without the right solution, understand this. This just isn't water. It's beginning with pure water, but then keeping it pure by putting into your digestive system, into your fluids, the nutrition that's right and proper. Now, I've told you the brain cells are 70% water. Your brain overall is 74.5% water. Almost 3/4? Water. Your bone is 22% water. Your kidneys are 82.7% water. The muscle in your body is 75.6% water. Blood is 83% water. And overall, your body is 65% water. Very delicate balance. Not only in terms of amount, but in terms of quality of that amount. You cannot upset this balance and think and act right. You cannot upset this balance and then go say a quick prayer and say, I am now invoking a spiritual law to help me get away with breaking this physical law. It doesn't work. You want to use God to be a lawbreaker, to help you to break the law. It's not going to work. It doesn't work. So your body needs about 65% clean, pure water at all times in order to function properly. Understand, one of the most important functions of water is to flush the toxins and the salt from your body. So it's obvious that water, oxygen, blood, and water are important. So what happens when that balance becomes unbalanced? In other words, either the three agree in one. See, all three of you agree in one thing or another. Now I'm going to tell you what happens. God sees this problem. Turn to Genesis 6:5. We're going to talk about Noah and the flood. How water cleans. While you're searching there, I'm going to read you a scripture in 1 Peter 3:20 that says, God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Eight souls were saved by water. Now, it wasn't nine souls or 10, seven or six, five or three, 20 or 15 or 75. Eight souls were saved by water. Now, water did the saving, but it were the eight souls. Now, what does the number eight mean? New beginnings. Those thinking souls, that thinking party said, I've had enough. I've had enough of my opinion. I've had enough of my way. I've had enough of my results. That's it. I want a new beginning. Now, when the man starts thinking that way, you're ready to be saved by water. But not until then. So it says these eight souls, these new beginning souls, were saved by water. Saved does not mean salvation to go to heaven. It comes from a Greek word that means to cure and heal and make perfectly whole. Eight souls were healed. Eight minds were healed. Eight minds were cured. Eight minds were made perfectly whole. In other words, able to think properly. And it's important that your mind think properly. You know why? Because it's the one that sends signals to your heart and says, slow down. That's too fast. Speed it up a little bit. Right there. That's just what we need. Lungs, a little bit more air. Not more than that. We got to keep this. Adrenal glands, a little adrenaline. We need a little energy here. That's too much. We're going to get the rest of it from energy from the food. Kidneys, don't flush it out too hard. Wait a minute. We got to keep everything in solution here. Now, those are very important. See, you think your mind only serves you so that you can make decisions about what you want to do and not want to do. Don't you understand that when you tell me, my mind doesn't see it that way, I don't understand, and you're doing things wrong to your body externally. Your mind is doing things, you're drinking, smoking, doing things externally wrong for your body. Well, what makes you think your body then, your mind then doesn't do things internally that are wrong? Your mind's not thinking right. It has wrong solutions in it. Blood pressure, salt content, you have renal failure, your kidneys start holding back. and the urine becomes darker and darker. You start getting jaundice. All kinds of problems start. Well, why? Because your mind isn't thinking right. You got to understand this has more to do than with that's external of you. You go to work, you do things that are not right. You come home and you try to figure out your bills and you make decisions that are not right. You try to deal with your family, your wife, your children, your husband. You make decisions that are not right. Your mind is telling you, can't you see we're not thinking right? And then something starts hurting you and the mind doesn't know what to do about it. It doesn't know how to tell the blood, manufacture this many white blood cells, these kinds of antitoxins, these specific kinds of antibodies, and get rid of that. Just this much fever while we're manufacturing, your mind goes bananas. So what do you need? Drugs. You need chemicals. You need outside help. What's wrong? Your mind isn't working right. You just refuse to understand the importance of the two. And if you don't believe this, take this tape to any doctor that you want. And instead of them examining you, hand them the tape and pay them the fee and say, what do you think of this? And I defy him to prove me wrong. He may not agree with the principle or the source, but the medical portion of it, he cannot disagree because it's true. So now we go to Genesis 6:5. And we have a human race that's in agreement. They agree in one. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that's his body, and that every imagination of the thoughts, the soul, of his heart, the inner part of you, your spirit, was only evil continually. So man was in agreement, wasn't he? I want something bad. I think I want something bad. And I'm saying I want something bad. And I have it. But it's God's fault. Wickedness of man was great. And was only evil continually. Now God says, I got to do something about this. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created
from the face of the earth.
Well, wait a minute. That would include Noah.
Let's find out a minute.